AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. 7,000 nurses have gone on strike at two major hospitals in New York City this morning.
I'm not going in there to take care of those patients because I have to fight for them. We have been fighting for our patients and for ourselves.
Nurses at Mount Sinai Hospital and Montefiore Medical Center are demanding higher pay and more staffing. Both facilities have moved patients and diverted ambulances. Other city hospitals reached a deal with the nurses' union yesterday. President Biden has approved an emergency declaration for the state of California, with northern portions bracing for yet another round of intense storms. KOVR-TV's Molly Reel is in the Capitol.
Downtown Sacramento looks to be the hardest hit. It's quite a mess down here. A lot of mess on the ground, parts of downtown and midtown where the entire trees were uprooted.
More than 350,000 customers lost power during the latest storm. Just days after the nation marked the second anniversary of the January 6th attack, a series of high-level trials is getting underway. Correspondent Scott McFarland from Capitol Hill.
Richard Barnett of Arkansas goes on trial today. He's accused of putting his feet up on a desk in then-Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office and of taking some of her mail. Also, it's opening arguments in the Proud Boys seditious conspiracy case, the second time prosecutors have tried that high-level charge of seditious conspiracy.
Prince Harry revealed new details about his break from the royal family during an interview with CBS's 60 Minutes last night, including claims his mother-in-law, Camilla, the queen consort, fed information about him to the media to rehab her own image. The reaction back home in Britain.
Probably telling the truth, and, you know, those issues are quite valid, but I don't really think it's for public debate.
You want the whole world to know your dirty laundry? Really? For millions and millions?
Harry's new memoir, Spare, will be released tomorrow. There is new controversy over a troubled public water system in the South. CBS's Jim Crisula has the update.
A state environmental regulator in Mississippi has denied claims the state agency he leads discriminated against the predominantly black capital city of Jackson in allocating federal funds. The head of the Mississippi Department of Environmental Quality says he thinks an ongoing federal civil rights investigation into the matter is politically motivated.
Hours after the NFL's regular season wrapped up comes a coaching casualty. The Texans fired coach Lovie Smith last night after winning just three games. Their final game, a 32-31 win over the Colts, cost Houston the top overall pick in the spring NFL draft. That goes to the Bears. S&P futures up 16. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Wisconsin state government will soon ban the TikTok social media app. Governor Evers says he'll sign an executive order this week to keep TikTok off state government phones and computers. Critics say TikTok's Chinese owners can track American users and manipulate what news they see. Evers says he made up his mind after speaking with the FBI and Wisconsin emergency management officials. A Wisconsin group that helps injured birds released four bald eagles in Sauk County over the weekend. The Raptor Education Group from Antigo says three of the birds were poisoned by lead. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources annual Bald Eagle Watching Days is next weekend in Prairie du Sac. In sports, we may have seen the last of Aaron Rodgers as a Green Bay Packer. Commentators are speculating about his retirement after last night's loss to the Lions. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at WAUK.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
My, Sandy. Oh, what a wicked web we weave when we practice to deceive. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That's Mondays with Sandy. And Sandy, man, this conversation, these kinds of conversations, man, with you.
Well, let me.
I walk out. And before we go, yeah. Let's, for people who may not know, you know, we are, and you're just joining us, we are talking about special interests should not control licensing board appointments. And a lot of times we hear special interests. We don't know what special interest is, the citizens. And so we talked a little bit about that. But before, let me tell you what the Supreme Court said. And I see you, Jake. We'll come right to you. In 2015, the United States Supreme Court reprimanded the North Carolina Board of Dentistry and by extension all similarly dominated boards. It ruled that states that delegate enforcement of occupational licensing laws to a board dominated by active market participants could not claim legal protection like antitrust exemptions and lawsuits alleging the state was restricting marketplace competition. This form of capture by special interests has existed as long as occupational licensing itself. Now a new first of its kind report by Pacific Legal Foundation has identified an additional and lesser known form of licensing board control by these active market participants. And before we do that, Sandy,
yeah, but let me just quickly, though, because you've asked on prior shows, and if people have, and Tom calls in from L.A. about these people who give so much money, and they obviously want, what do they want in return? Well, now we're talking exactly about what it is that people who are active in politics want in return. When you're in state politics and you're asked to go out and raise money, you call up the realtors and you call up the chiropractors and you call up
the restaurateurs,
the dentists, and you call up the restaurateurs and you call up the tavern owners associations and you call up all these people who are either regulated at the state or state or local level. And they're the ones who want to give money because they want to make sure that the people who get appointed to these boards by the elected officials are people who will do what they want. Primarily what they want is to make sure that there aren't too many of them competing with one another and that the restrictions that are imposed are beneficial to the industry. And secondarily, they're interested in making sure that the legislators who get elected aren't actively going to run off and investigate the regulatory boards. So all the money that they're giving is going to make sure that they're handled sweetly and gently by the politicians. And that's why lots of people give money. And that's why Tom is right that we have to get money out of politics, because there it can be no question And it would defy logic for anyone to think that most people give large amounts of money to politics without wanting something in exchange.
You know, Sandy, I've said for years, decades actually, that, you know, our government is for sale. And politicians would get angry with me and say, you need to stop saying that. Well, what else is that? Let's do this. Let's go to Jake quickly, Sandy. Hey, Jake, thank you for waiting. You've been there for a while. You say what?
Hey, Earl, I just want to briefly go back to the subject of Ron DeSantis running for president, which was brought up near the end of last hour.
Go ahead.
I see DeSantis basically as Florida's version of Scott Walker. You know, he may look good on paper. He may have lots of money from his, you know, criminal corporate buddies in his bank account, ready for the run for president. But he's a dud personally. You put that guy on the stage with Donald Trump, and it's going to be more than just him and Donald Trump. That's why these early polls are useless. I mean, they're trying to say, you know, who are you going to vote for, DeSantis or Trump? There's going to be a dozen other candidates on that stage. You're going to have Tom Cotton, Greg Abbott. You're going to have Josh Hawley, Asa Hutchinson, Mike Pence, of course. You know, this is going to be a large field of candidates. And when you get down to it, like in 2016, when they first predicted from Florida, Jeb Bush would be the easy nominee. Then after that, they said Marco Rubio from Florida is going to be the nominee. It's not going to be any of these people that the mainstream media, corporate media, wants to predict. If Donald Trump runs for the presidency, he'll get the nomination of the Republican Party again, unfortunately.
Well, I think you make a good point that it's very hard to predict, and all the early predictions are usually all wet, and that there will be a crowded stage running for the office. And once there's a crowded stage, it's very hard to predict who comes off that stage the winner. And that's been the case in both parties for quite a while. I mean, I suppose Biden was less of a surprise, but Barack Obama was probably a surprise when you start out that election phase and who was going to be the nominee and then who actually was the nominee. It was surprising. So you're absolutely right. Early predictions are not worth much, just like the predictions that the Packers would be in the Super Bowl.
thank you. Thank you very much for the call, Jake. I really appreciate it. You know, Sandy, I want to get back to this the regulations and
well, one other thing I wanted to add about one of the problems with us getting our hands around the regulators where the fox is in control of guarding the hen house, and that is that the news media would be one of the sources, and in fact, the news media over the years and during my lifetime would look at these kind of issues and what might do an investigatorial report on one of the regulatory bodies and demonstrate how it was that they weren't just worried about safety and competence. They were actually doing the bidding of the regulated industry. And that's happened at the federal level. People finally uncovered that the FAA was maybe too much in bed with Boeing and sort of doing its bidding rather than worrying only about public safety. But we've kind of lost the news media in terms of their capacity to do investigatorial reporting, because it's expensive. It requires a budget that has basically been lost in this new version of the news media, which involves only several news sources that are substantial enough to do investigatorial reporting, and not many at the state level, okay? The New York Times is not going to uncover the problems that are associated with the massage board of overseers in Wisconsin.
You know, Sandy, I don't care if it's the OSHA board, if it's the FDA, I don't care who it is. We have a government that won't put enough resources into the FDA, enough people, enough money to where they can really become effective in doing the kind of job that they need to be doing. That's both Democrat and Republican. They won't do that.
Well, don't you think money in politics keeps them from doing it? But I mean, if you're the industry being regulated, you don't want too much regulation, and the regulation you get is that you want is the kind that you want to have.
I understand from the perspective of industry.
Yeah.
I'm talking about from the perspective of the people who are impacted by this.
Well,
and so if the industry itself, understand them wanting to protect themselves, but we now face things that industry can do that's harmful to the American people, and that is being protected by the very people that we've elected in a representative government. So what are we talking about?
Well, here's the problem. Money in politics and the compromising of political activity by the industry that is would be regulated is the poison. The antidote for that poison over time was the news media.
Okay.
And the news media to inform us, because the politicians were being compromised, and they were in turn making nominations to these boards that were potentially compromised. And the news media was in a position to uncover all of this. But so simultaneous with us getting more money in politics after Citizens United, so that the poison, the dose rate for the poison has gone way up, the antidote for that poison is rapidly disappearing because of the news media that we have that remains is very limited. And the capacity of the news media to do investigatorial reporting is very limited.
So, Sandy, I can tell you as an American citizen, I am outraged because you can't tell me about the greatness of our society and our government and everything that happens in it. When we see this, it stinks to high heaven. It's almost like being living next to a slaughterhouse and expect to have some clean air. So, so our nation is never in any position, Sandy, to point its finger at anybody else, because, you know, our house is not clean. And especially when we talk about drugs. I mean, especially the drug part of this, Sandy, right?
Well, it's hard to, you can point at that as being one of the most pernicious in terms of its potential damage to the public. But this is a very widespread problem in terms of the regulated getting control of their regulation in such a manner that this is what Adam Smith, the economist back in the 1700s, predicted would be could be a potential problem of open market competition, was that government needed to provide regulation to protect marketplaces, to make sure that markets worked, to make sure that product safety was assured, other than simply by competition in the circumstance in which regulation might be required. And so the failure is really a political failure, because, and it's a failure that relates to the money in politics. And it's not so much that politicians are getting their hands crossed with dollars so much as it is running for election that is obviously costing so much money. And that money to pay for re-election requires raising a lot of money. And you have to raise a lot of money from people who are willing to give money to politics. Who's willing to give so much money to politics?
And what people need to really understand is, once you get there, once you're a congressperson or a senator, you don't want to lose that. I mean, it's a great job, right? I mean, come on. If you can hold on to that, and your boss, who's your boss?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it turns out, I don't know, and this is going to sound like an accusation, and it isn't, but I do scratch my head, but it does appear that most people who are in Congress, or particularly in the U.S. Senate, come out of that process with a pretty generous net worth.
Yes.
They do very well financially. They give lots of speeches that they can get paid for. They do all kinds of things that permit them.
Are you dreading going into work every day? Do you want a career where you can earn more and feel appreciated? If you answered yes, then Sigma Castings, a division of Sigma Engineered Solutions in Marcus Ann and Jackson, is your answer. They are more than a company. They are a family of dedicated experts that span the continents. Here are a few ways they make you feel appreciated. Entry-level pay is $18 an hour with regular performance reviews. After 90 days, you get 80 hours of vacation plus 11 paid holidays. They will give you a $2,000 sign-on, stay-on bonus. They offer a robust benefit package with low premiums and great coverage, and their 401k will blow you away. Now hiring first shift, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. till 2 p.m. Start your new career today at Sigma Castings in Markazan and Jackson. Find them on Indeed or call 920-260-8560 and wake up happy to go to work.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 38 this afternoon. Under mainly sunny skies, winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast tonight. Lows dip down to about 30. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Highs around 37. Overcast Wednesday with daytime highs approaching 39. 36 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Listen, we're going to move on from the egghead conversation. listen, I call it egghead only because it's so complex that I guess, and I don't know if it's so complex, but that the American people, you scratch your head because you're saying, well, I'm listening to this, and I'm not just not believing it because it's something's crooked about it. That doesn't.
We were saying off the air, you know, there's a lot of argument amongst some politicians. We want less regulation. Well, the kind of regulation they want less of is the kind that gets in their way. EPA regulation, OSHA regulation that protects workers, the kind of stuff that gets in the way of business and doesn't help them by fencing out competitors. But you won't ever find the dentistry board suggesting that there ought to be less regulation of entry into dentistry. Or for that matter, cabs. You know, we talked about that was cabby regulation was almost purely economic regulation. Limit the number of cab licenses in, for instance, New York City as a way to make sure that a cabbie could make a living out of being a cabbie. Because there wouldn't be too many of them, not too many cabs on the road. Then Uber came along. But the public needs protection for competence and safety, but doesn't need to be protected against low prices. And so we've got this problem with the loss of news media to point out these problems and politicians who are getting their money from the very people who are supposedly need to be watched.
Sandy, I can go on with you on this for the rest of...
Do we have Tom on the line? Do I understand?
Yeah, we'll go to Tom. But yeah. I'm saying I could go on with you with this for the rest of the show because I just think it points out some things that they're not teaching us. People are taking advantage of us because we don't understand the complexities of any of these things.
Well, if you
get our lives are being impacted.
Anybody who's been asked to raise a bunch of money for a political campaign knows that you would go to interest groups like the realtors and get them to bundle a bunch of contributions from fellow realtors who are in turn inclined to give money because of the state realty board. and you'll go to the dentists, and you'll go to the chiropractors, and you'll go to the everybody who's regulated by these various boards, and they all have associations, all of whom are politically active and give money, and the money gets given particularly to state legislators and the governor in the governor's race to make sure that the kind of regulation that they see is the kind they want.
I know. They.
They.
The masses of us aren't they.
That's right.
Right? And so the rest of us are called. Hey, let's go. Let's go. Hey, Tom, sorry it took so long, man, but, you know, here you are, and, you know, you've been a sounding board for a long time on it. Go ahead.
Well, first off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Yeah, I think what needs to start happening is we need to start talking in everyday person's lingo. And you need to say, do you want the referees on the field, or do you not want the referees on the field? Because I can guarantee you, if you pull all the refs off a football game, and all of a sudden the Seattle Seahawks, as years ago, beat the Green Bay Packers. I saw Paul Ryan and all these guys up in arms. Oh, the refs were horrible. The refs were bad, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, wow, the people that are against regulation the most are the ones that want this referee to call the right call. So I think we really need to stop, because I think regulation's gotten a bad word, unfortunately. And I think what happens is you have federal regulation and you have local regulation. And I think with the small businesses that I see each day, the small the regulations that, you know, that they're talking about, which then they put to a larger scale about all Democrats, is that we do have some silly, you know, stupid regulations at a very local level that makes the small business person, when I say that, mom and pop business person, you know, get angry at the Democratic Party. Now, I will say this, again, money in politics is the media. You'll never see them say anything negative about the pharmaceutical companies, because when you turn the TV on, all you do is see a pharmaceutical ad. You look at, unfortunately, Bill Clinton signing the 1993 Telecommunications Act, where, you know, we no longer have media or no longer have news. We now have infotainment. And because of that, you have politicians that spend lots of money on campaign ads, and so therefore you don't hear the media ever talk about money in politics because of the fact that they are not going to get their advertising dollars like they would if they started speaking out about money in politics and actually started talking to the average Joe and Jane on, you know, on their TV, the people at the diner. You know, about money in politics. Have you ever heard anybody talk about money in politics on CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, any of those, MSNBC, any of the Fox, hate radio?
No, because they're getting their share of the money.
Because they're getting money, exactly. But the thing is, that's not what this country was built upon. That's why the people need to wake up and realize that the money and the greed of money is what is killing our democracy and killing this country.
Well, you know, it's well said, Tom, but you know what? It's never going to change. Not now.
Well, Earl, it would change, though, if the American people really knew. I bet you the American people
don't know
what Citizens United was. That's our job, is to try to tell them. And I think that, I'll just give you an example. If I ran for
Tom, we
right
got to go
now,
to break. We got to go to break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Brief. More than 7,000 nurses at two big New York City hospitals walked off their jobs today demanding pay raises, better staffing, and working conditions.
The staffing crisis is dangerous. And so we need to do something different.
Many patients have been transferred from Mount Sinai and Montefiore and ambulances diverted to other hospitals. President Biden's approved an emergency declaration for storm-weary Californians. WCBS meteorologist Craig Allen says there's more dangerous weather to come in the north.
There are storms that continue to develop along this spigot of water from the Pacific. And so this looks like it's going to continue right through the course of this week.
A January 6th rioter goes to court. Scott McFarland.
Trial begins today here at the federal courthouse in Washington for Richard Barnett of Arkansas. He's the man accused of having his feet on a desk in then Speaker Nancy Pelosi's offices on January 6th and of taking a piece of her mail and leaving a vulgar note.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Shaw 101 FM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. Weakening Governor Evers' powers appears to be the goal of Wisconsin's Republican lawmakers who are pushing to get several constitutional amendments on the April 4th ballot. One requires the legislature approve how federal money is spent. GOP lawmakers repeatedly clashed with Governor Evers over how to allocate those monies during the pandemic. Another amendment changes the way people accused of a crime get out on bail. This will require court officials consider things like public safety and the person's previous record before setting bail. If the amendment passed, they changed the Constitution and therefore can't be vetoed by the governor. Meanwhile, Governor Evers told WISN he's absolutely not in favor of the amendment giving the legislature the power to spend federal money, saying, quote, "You think about what happened during this pandemic. You have a legislature that didn't come into session for 300 days and we got the money out the door," unquote. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5.
Let's do it.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
From a place of sorrow that finds me weeping.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And I will tell you this unequivocally. Did I say it right? As always, unequivocally.
No, no ugly.
Unequivocally. Unequivocally. That nowhere else on the airways is anybody having an extended conversation as we spent almost the last 45, 50 minutes explaining this. Nowhere. Nobody else. It's not happening anywhere in this country where this is being discussed to this degree with a man of Sandy's stature who understands it, the inner workings of it. And, you know, I know it can be frustrating to people, and that's probably some listening to this right now saying, hurry up and get over that. Let's just move on to something else. But these are the kind of things we shouldn't be getting over. These are the kind of things that should be exposed, and the fact that at the root of all of it is you and I are getting the short end of this stick, because we are trusting, as Americans, we are trusting. And as Sandy said, this isn't new. This isn't something that just took place over the last 10, 12 years. This is a process that goes on every day across this nation. Tom, quickly, last thing. Tom?
If you were running for office, yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, quickly.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, if you are running for office and you're getting into office for good intentions to start off with, at least, you know, what do you have to do? You have to earn a lot of money, especially if you're going up against the big corporations. And the thing that really, really sucks is that the politicians, at least I find on the left, are constantly emailing, asking for money. They're worse than beggars on the street. But I do understand where it is that they're coming from, because they're never going to get their message out, and they're never going to be able to win an election. I was a campaign manager out here in California for a guy, and all he cared about was making sure that we go to a fundraiser and make money. And I'm like, well, don't we really care about what the people actually want, going door to door and finding out what people want? And he's like, no, it's all about who has the most money. And I was like, wow, well, I can't do your campaign then if that's the way it is, because that's not the way I see it at all. And I resigned from being his campaign manager. But like I said, it's money in politics. It really is. It's follow the money, people. Go to the Sunlight Foundation. Please, please stop voting against your best interest and having it where the donors have us fighting each other about stupid stuff, and we don't actually get to the root of the problem in this country, is donors.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much. Sandy, we're going to move on, man, reluctantly, because it just frustrates the hell out of me. I'm, you know, that this is what's taking place. But anyway, let's go here. Okay, so no conflict in investigating the investigators, investigating him, Perry said. This is Scott Perry, and he's with the House Freedom Caucus, and so he is now going to be in charge of investigating the investigators who were investigating him
on the January 6th.
So Sandy, this is another thing that drives me crazy. So I mean, I get it.
This is another fox guarding a hen house.
So tell me how.
Yeah.
We just had this big investigation, and the Democrats were in charge, and they were able to spend, I don't know how many years.
Actually, the Democrats were in charge, but the chairman of that committee was Lynn Cheney, a Republican.
Right.
You know, and it was a very small committee, and it was fairly bipartisan. Of course, the Republicans who agreed to be on that committee were immediately jettisoned by the Republican Party. And by, you know...
Yeah, like Adam Kinzinger.
Adam Kinzinger.
Good man.
Yeah, well, both of them displayed
Cheney,
themselves...
Good person.
They
right.
both displayed themselves as having high integrity, which it turns out appears to be a very rare commodity amongst legislators in Washington. And so while it's true that I think many people who are now congratulating and feeling that both Cheney and Kinzinger represent high moral principles, most of the same people would disagree with them on very many of the fundamental policy issues that they carried in politics. But, you know, it's such a low bar for honesty and integrity that people who display it immediately get recognized by the public as being a highly principled people.
You know, Representative Scott Perry said that being under investigation shouldn't disqualify him from, again, he was under investigation. He said it shouldn't disqualify him from taking part in any examination of the federal investigators conducted by the newly empowered House Republicans. Speaking on ABC's this week, the Pennsylvania Republican said, "Why should I be limited? Why should anybody be limited just because someone has made an accusation? Everybody in America is innocent until proven otherwise." I would say this. The American people are really, really tired of the persecution. And instruments of federal power being used against them.
It's like having the person who's sentenced to prison investigating the judge who sentenced him, and as if he's going to present, or he or she that's the sentenced is going to do an unbiased job of investigating the judge. I mean, it's the same thing.
Sandy, how can you have any faith in this government?
Well, it's something's gone wrong in Washington with respect to their whole sense of what constitutes a conflict of interest. And if people don't understand it, I mean, quite frankly, the whole Hunter Biden thing, regardless of whether anything illegal was done, it certainly smelled a great deal like a conflict of interest for the son of the vice president, who was himself personally involved in dealings on behalf of the United States with Ukraine, had a son who was on the board of the main gas utility in Ukraine. So, but I think there's just a blind spot in Washington now about what it is that might be a conflict of interest. And it's so pervasive that somebody can talk as foolishly as Perry is now about it not being a conflict for him to investigate the very panel that investigated him.
I mean, Sandy, I don't know anymore there was a time that I trusted and believed in our government. There really was. But the older I get, the more I look into things, I can't anymore. Right? I mean, and for all the American people who still believe in that, the ideals of it, Sandy, are great.
Mm-hmm.
But ideals aren't what we're seeing. Right? I mean, come on.
What are ideals?
The belief.
No, I know.
Oh, I know.
It's like the sun came out this morning. What's the sun? What in the world are ideals? Washington and ideals, it's almost like an oxymoron. There's so little in the way of ideals being represented by activities that go on.
So let me ask you, Sandy, you and I have been around a while, and you've been engaged in understanding and watching the government longer than I have. You were actually in it. Was it this bad 40, 50 years ago?
Well,
or has it always been kind of on a smaller scale?
Well, I would say that it used to be done with the threat of sunlight potentially shining on it, so that it was, to the extent something was surreptitious, it was carefully surreptitious. To the extent that something was ongoing, it was ongoing on a small scale. So that, you know, it's always been true that if you wanted to raise money at the state level, you went to the road builders, you went to the realtors, you went to the regulated entities in the state, and you got your money. But you operated at the risk that the Milwaukee Journal or the Milwaukee Sentinel or the State Journal or one of the periodicals that was actively doing investigatorial reporting would be on to it, so that it was carefully done. We don't have investigatorial reporting. We have corporate donors now. It used to be that utilities, for instance, and those who were officers of utilities couldn't give money because utilities are regulated by the state. Why would they be giving money? Well, obviously, it was so they would get regulation that was beneficial to them. That's dropped away now because Citizens United has this concept that somehow a corporation would give money other than only for the reason of benefiting the bottom line of the corporation, when, of course— if you were the shareholder of a corporation, you'd say, you're giving money for a reason other than improving the bottom line of the corporation. What are you talking about?
So, Sandy, you're an attorney. Help me understand, help us understand how Perry, you know, Congressman Perry, Scott Perry, who was just under investigation all of this time, and everything that they found out on him, now, because the Republicans won, they'll put him in a position where he can refute all of that. What was the purpose in all of that that was done?
Well, refute, if he can refute it, more power to him. But the notion that he would be an unbiased investigator, that he would cast a vote as a congressman in the committee on a basis that was unbiased is ridiculous, right? And it, this shows the extent to which Washington has blinders, because not only does this guy want to do it, but he's willing to stand up and make an argument on behalf of it that suggests that there's nothing unprincipled that creates a clear conflict of interest. Because you know what? Washington has lost sight of compromise and conflict of interest. When they go to the dictionary, those words aren't there anymore.
You know, Sandy, the inherent danger in it is that it continues to be like that proverbial snowball rolling down the hill, snow-covered hill. It just continues because there's no way to rein it back in, is it?
Well, like I said, the news media isn't doing it to the extent that it's not even there. If I could accuse it of not doing its job, but it's evaporated in the world of social media. Social media isn't able to handle this because people go to the social media and read what it is they want to read and what they want to believe. And those who are in support of Scott Perry are hopeful that, you know, they think it's great.
Sandy, it's the same thing with Jim Jordan.
Yes.
They're doing the exact same thing. He's been under investigation, so what do? They're going to put him in a position that he's going to be able to now oversee the investigation that he was being investigated by.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, man.
Speechless. Dumbfounded.
And it's, man, it's just so amazing to me, Sandy, that we are here. And, you know, it really is. We can't look at anybody else's government. I don't think we have a right as a country to look at anybody else's government until ours is cleaned up, right?
Yeah, and you know, in fact, well,
we're talking about Russia. We're constantly talking about Russia.
Well, we can make a segue because, you know, we talk about Russia, and number one, we shouldn't really be talking about other people, how they govern themselves, until we manage to make our government what it should be. Rather than what it is, you know, what it could be, what it should be, and
right.
This is not, and this
and
is
what
not,
we say
this
is
not a lack of patriotism. This is my dose of patriotism. We want America to be what it can and should be, and not the way it's currently behaving in Washington. But the other thing is that we have our president now meeting with the heads of Canada and Mexico.
Gotta go to a break. Hold the thought. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
¿Te tiene agobiado tu trabajo? ¿Sueñas con una carrera profesional donde puedas ganar más dinero y te sientas apreciado? Si tu respuesta es afirmativa, entonces Sigma Castings, una división de Sigma Engineered Solutions en Marquesan y Jackson, es tu respuesta. Son más que una empresa, son una familia de expertos dedicados que abarcan continentes. Te harán sentir apreciado de muchas maneras. Por ejemplo, el nivel básico de pago es de $18 por hora con revisiones periódicas de rendimiento. Después de los primeros 90 días de empleo, tendrás derecho a 80 horas de vacaciones más 11 feriados pagados. Aún más, ganarías un bono de $2,000 por permanecer en tu puesto. Te ofrecen un paquete de beneficios robusto, con primas bajas y excelente cobertura, y su plan de retiro 401k te va a impresionar. Se está contratando ahora para el primer turno, lunes a viernes, de 5 de la mañana a 2 de la tarde. Empieza tu nueva carrera ya con Sigma Castings en Marquesan y Jackson. Encuéntralos en Indeed o llama a 920-260-8560 y levántate en la mañana feliz de ir al trabajo.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High temperatures reach up to 38 this afternoon under mainly clear skies. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 30 tonight. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 37. Overcast Wednesday with a high of 39. 36 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You text us at that same number. And you know, this is just one of those days and one of those shows where we just can't get, I can't get away from the stuff that's happening. You know, I tried to talk about some of the stuff earlier with, you know, the guy shooting somebody in the restaurant, and then we talked about the Packers a little bit, but I got a lot of other things that
now we're stuck in the swamp.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, this is what, you know, to the extent there's a swamp, this isn't the one that the Republicans are talking about. The swamp I'm talking about is the special interest money that basically has control over politics locally, nationally, and at the state level, because, you know, the regulatory bodies, the way we got into this, talking about regulatory bodies with the fox guarding the hen house and worried not so much about the public interest and just safety and competence, but monopoly and fence them out kind of stuff. And at the federal level. So, yeah, you know, it's, I don't know why this is a wonder to anybody, because everybody knows that if someone is giving lots and lots of money to politics, or if some particular profession or some particular industry is giving lots of money to politics, they aren't doing it for ideological reasons. They're doing it for the reason of wanting to get the government to do what they want.
You know, Sandy, the migration issues and Biden's visit to, you know, the talk with Trudeau and others.
Well, he's talking to the you know, the head of Mexico and the head of Canada. So it's a tripartite, three-country North America meeting.
The North American Free Trade Agreement. I don't know, Sandy. So Canada is not having the border issues, we know. And we do know there are people coming across that border.
Well, things get bad enough here, I suppose. People could start flooding the Canadian border. No, I mean, the fact is that I'm surprised, and I try to figure out what is the reason why the United States' interest doesn't extend south of the Panama Canal into South America, which is a very big continent filled with natural resources. Venezuela has, I think, potentially the largest oil reserves in the world. And why is it that we're so much more fascinated in the Saudi Arabian oil reserves than we are in the Venezuelan oil reserves? And it has something to do with the proximity to the American oil reserves. If those Venezuelan oil reserves get if they get found and exploited to a maximum degree, it will definitely put a lot of oil into the marketplace that will dilute the price of oil in the Western Hemisphere. And is that an issue with respect to why it is? But in any case, much of the migration into the United States through Mexico isn't just Mexicans trying to get in the United States. It's many South Americans right. fleeing. And so why are we not more interested in, and why is this meeting about North America really not a meeting about the Western Hemisphere? And why are we not working harder on getting the Western Hemisphere right rather than spending trillions of our dollars with respect to our foreign affairs relating to the Mideast and now to European Russia?
You know, Sandy, the quality of the oil in Venezuela and the quality of the crude oil in what was once Libya is the top crude oil. I guess you can use they use the term sweetest crude oil anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But that we haven't been able to take advantage of Venezuela because we went to war basically with them and let them know we'll shut you off. They can't mine the oil in Venezuela, and so we clearly had to know how to do that, and so that oil is still in the ground.
Well, we just reached an agreement that allows Chevron. I mean, if for some reason, we have a lot more problem with Venezuela maintaining and nationalizing the oil and the exploration and production of oil in Venezuela. That's what they have in Norway.
So for people who don't know what nationalizing the oil means, what does that mean, Sandy?
Well, nationalization is to put it under government ownership so that instead of having Chevron or having British Petroleum or some private entity have a license and pay royalties. So typically what happens in those circumstances is there's a royalty paid for each barrel of oil removed that's paid to the government that owns the rights to the oil and licenses it out. But that royalty is usually a pittance compared to
the
value of the oil. And so some places like, for instance, Norway has maintained the ownership of that oil in sovereign entities, and every citizen of Norway has a piece of the oil. And so that was kind of what Venezuela was headed towards. But prior to that, there had been agreements in place for, I don't know if it was Chevron or which American oil producers that were the entities that were drilling for and producing the oil and paying royalties to Venezuela. And Chavez in Venezuela said, no, we want to nationalize it. And we said, oh, if you're going to do that, we're going to blockade your country. And so we did.
You know, and this is again, Sandy, why the American people, we're educated, but, you know, we're educated not so much about our own nation and globally what's going on globally, right? I mean, we really aren't. We're focused on what happens in America. And yet, because we don't spend enough time looking at what's happening globally, we really get the short end of the stick. Because if we really understood what it was you just said about, you know, nationalizing and making sure that the people who suffer, because Venezuela right now, those people are some of the poorest people on the planet, even though they're sitting on top of a gold mine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, when Chavez was not Chavez, yeah, Chavez. When Chavez was in charge of things, he clearly was giving a share of those resources. The same thing with the guy in Libya. I forgot his name.
Gaddafi.
He would make sure that everybody there got their fair share because
I'm not going to go so far as to say these leaders were giving the fair share to everyone who ought to get it, but the money was flowing into the public coffers and not into the private, and so that it was at least paying for the government that might be delivering services to these people. We have a problem in the world in terms of the way the exploitation of natural resources is carried out, and the United States has always been a part of that problem.
Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.